All right, well, we are here Tuesday after a great holiday. Everybody's all stuffed and excited with having a break for Labor Day. And we are all excited about getting back into the Word of God. This is our Tuesday noon Bible study here at Cross Culture Church. And our rabbi teacher, still student of the Word, but moving forward, Gerald Alfred here is having fun with our group. We are in the book of Acts, and not to worry, we're going to get it finished before the end of the year. We got 9 more chapters to go after this 19, because there are 28 chapters in there, and we should be able to get it done, and for you all to get prepared. The group has asked that we go to Revelations next.
Okay.
So I was surprised because I thought you all would want to grab an Old Testament since we had a few of the New Testament. I thought y'all may have wanted to jump back into into the Old Testament, but.
You're feeling bold. I thought we were
going to
do Daniel first and then go to Revelation.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm just saying, that would be the better way to start, because the preamble is there in Daniel, the forecast, and so you'll see a lot of the symbolism being identified there, and then the manifestation of it would be on the back end. So, I'm an obedient student here, so as you all, if that's what y'all want to do, we'll back up and then go forward. We'll do Daniel first.
What if we could do both? I make references to Daniel.
When you start cross referencing and going back, it'll take, and the only reason is I want y'all to think about it. If we were doing an overview, it would be different. But because we are doing a chapter by chapter and verse by verse, it's going to be a lot of going back and forth.
Okay.
So if you take Daniel first, then we can say a little bit later on when we get into Revelation, it's going to make sense. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we can break some things down and say you're going to see the finishing point. It's kind of like framing a house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'll lay a foundation, you start putting up, you don't put the roof on, which would be when we start getting into Revelation. That's when you put the roof on, the siding, and, you know, start doing all that. But Daniel is going to, Daniel is going to be where I believe, but now we can do it several ways. We can move away from the chapter by chapter and verse by verse and do just a chapter at a time, take the overview, and then try to tie it in. That's up to y'all how y'all want to do it.
Do what now? I'm confused.
I can do an overview versus a chapter by chapter and verse by verse.
An overview? But how would you go cover so many chapters in one sitting?
Instead of, we can do, if you're doing an overview, you can do 1 to 2 chapters each time we meet, because I'll be giving you this is the important keys, and then this is how this is going to relate to later on. It won't be as we go down to each verse. And then try to break it out.
Okay, I like the overview.
I do too.
I like the overview, and then we'll move on to Revelation fast. We'll get to Revelation quicker.
Okay, now I'm gonna tell y'all this. I want y'all to understand. You're gonna have to do some reading.
Yeah.
You can't come in and say,
"Well, I'm just saying."
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Okay, they have a vote on this.
All right, here we are. We're gonna jump right into chapter 19, and we got. We got Paul on the move.
Let me see if you block it. I'm sorry.
Oh, you talking about the fan?
Yeah, I can't have it blown directly. You want to sit over here?
Is it too much?
No,
And
well, just kind of have it where it bounces off.
Put it on low.
Put on zero.
All right, here we are in 19:1. It says, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Which group of people are these?
John's people.
These were people that had these are people that had not had a Pentecostal experience. So I want us to understand, when we look at this, you're going to run into people who have not had a Pentecostal experience. You're going to run into people who are doing the best that they can with what they've been given traditionally, but have not matured where they could be in the things of God. All right? So when you're looking at this, and I want us to take the perspective of, on our Christian journey, where is God taking us and who are we to meet? Okay? So here we on a journey as well. Are we not on life's journey?
Yes.
Right? And so we're going to meet people all over the place. We may say, well, hey, I'm going to Kroger today. I'm going to Costco's today. I'm going to wherever I'm going today. But in the midst of where you're traveling today, God may have somebody for you to meet when you get to Costco's or Kroger or TJ Maxx or wherever y'all going. Even the care farmer's market. While you standing in line, somebody may ask you a question. And you'd be surprised. I don't know about y'all, but questions always start one way, but they end somewhere else. Boy, they'll start on one thing, and next thing you know, you done got around to a storm or what happened in the country. Or and all you got to say is, God is. and that'll take it where it need to go. All right? So here's a group that had not received the Holy Ghost. Three, and he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of what?
Repentance,
saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Jesus Christ. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, I added Christ. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they did what?
Spoke with tongues and prophesied.
Is there any confusion about what this word prophesied mean right there? The word prophesied right there mean that they preached. It does not mean that they gave out words of revelation. It does not mean that there was a foretelling going on. There wasn't anybody saying God is going to start doing A, B, C, D. That was not a prophetic type of prophesying. That word prophesying, that means they started to preach. They started to talk about God and his experience and what he had done for them. They start having a testimony of now that they're in field. It's kind of like when I got hands laid on me and I got the Holy Ghost, boy, I was ready to start talking about it. You know, I was an effective witness after I got full of him. Other than that, you know, it was good, but it wasn't like I had that power firing me up. It's kind of like getting some high octane and just regular working on regular. You move a little bit faster, talk a little bit better. All right? Seven. And all the men were about how many?
12.
Is that significant?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So Paul teaches in Ephesus, it says here, for nearly 3 years. And I go, that's just a little thing. I got a new study Bible here, y'all. I got to get past that part. All right, verse 8. And he went into the synagogue, and he spake boldly for the space of how much?
3 months.
3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Y'all know what's happening now? Who does he go to first?
Jews.
Why do he go to them first?
Because he's Jewish.
Mm-hmm. That's what God chose the people.
What else? There's another one in here. It's a good one, too. What else? Why did he go to synagogue?
His passion. For the Jews to hear the truth.
Okay. One more. Why else he go to synagogue?
It's their practice, too.
That's where the biggest group of people he could minister to at one time would be.
Yeah.
He's going to where the group is that were focused on one thing where he could bring revelation knowledge to.
Right.
It's not like standing on the corner waiting on somebody to come by.
Yeah.
Right? You got a group of people who are already enthusiastic and have a zeal, but not all according to new revelation knowledge. Right?
Right.
So when you think about sometimes where you're going, you want to go and be excited about being around a group, but it's always good to minister to as many as you can individually. But I want you to see how God is using Paul right here to go get to the group. Now, something else going to come out here in a minute, so I want you to put a pin in it because we're getting ready to really go into this now. But when, and what did he persuaded them what? The things concerning what? The kingdom of God. They did not know really their position. They still stuck on waiting when you need to be now moving forward into the things of God, because the one that you're waiting on has already come. Okay? So he's trying to move them ahead. All right? But when divers or several of them were hardened, and believe not, but spake evil on that way before the multitude, he departed from them. And what did he do after he left them?
He separated
the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. I want you to see what happened. What happened? Y'all see what happened? He left the synagogue because he did as much as he could do in that space of time. And he went to another school. I went to a school. And this was more like a public school. Where, who was in there? Yes, he got another audience. And not only another audience, they meet differently. He only goes to the synagogue when? On the Sabbath. Now he's in this school, he got more opportunity.
Every day.
Hey. He got a different group that he can minister to more. So you see how God's moving him through? He gave first shot to his own. He stayed with him, how many, 3 months?
3 months.
3 months.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they could take.
Mm-hmm.
Paul was wearing them out in there, right? Because you know he was an elegant teacher. He's in there dealing with him. After a while, it's like, you know what? We didn't have a gut full of him. But in the midst of that, he did get some converts. So what does he do when he get ready to move out from there? He takes the ones that's converted out, because he said, y'all, they going to get you back if you stay around them. He separates them, and now he goes to the school.
Mm-hmm.
And this continued for how long?
Two years.
So that all... How many? All they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Boy, did God get the breakthrough there?
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of like we looked at the other verse. He went right next door, didn't he?
Yes.
the place was attached right to it. After he did what he did, he went over to the place that was right next to it and started preaching. So God's laying out some things during this journey, right? And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Now we got evidence, right? We got some testimonies coming from this, right? So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs and or aprons, and a disease departed from them, and evil spirits went out. Where did Paul get these handkerchiefs and aprons from? Who was Paul? What was his occupation?
A tent maker.
What was it? A tent maker.
So you're saying this is the remnants of
these,
the material.
This is stuff that he's carrying around. Yes. Oh, okay. And?
I just want to, the miracles were unusual. And some translations have the word unusual miracle because of the handkerchiefs and the pieces of cloth
right.
that were able to heal people. It wasn't the same as the other miracles where you may lay hands on someone, or maybe not. But just a handkerchief or a piece of cloth of his garment was so anointed
right.
that it could bring forth the healing or deliverance.
And also, I'm sure these handkerchiefs were not the type of handkerchiefs we're thinking
about. Right. It wasn't just a little bitty square part, you know, that you blow your nose and that type of thing. Well, some of it were burlap pieces and stuff. Cause when the tents were made not of cloth, they were made of burlap and skins and stuff like that. So. Because they had to repel water and really be durable. So God would take what's all around and use it for his glory, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. They said, diseases departed from them and evil spirits went out. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. And what happened? And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, chief of the priests, which did so. 15, and the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. We got some perpetrators who got wore out in the midst of trying to perpetrate. And this was known to all the Jews and the Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And what happened?
Fear
fell on them all. Mm-hmm. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Will the real Jesus stand up? Mm-hmm. Huh? Will the real disciples stand up? Mm-hmm. Huh? I like this because if you prayed up, if you got your heart right, God gonna do something. You know. And that's what it's going to take for something to get done. You can't just halfway do this or see somebody else do something and think you can do it. I'm sure there's more than some story that's not written in this book about that. 18. And many that believed came, confessed, and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. All right. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Why? Because there was a demonstration of the word of God with power. Mm-hmm. And that will change the minds of some people. It sure will. And after these things were ended, Paul purposed in the spirit, when he had pressed through Macedonia and Achaia to go into Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see what?
Rome.
Aha. Uh-huh. So he went into Macedonia, two of them that ministered unto him, Timothy and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a season. And when the same time there arose no small stir about that way. What way? The way of Jesus. The people in the way had started stirring it up. All right. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana. Who was Diana? That was the big god in town. That was the love goddess. Yeah, big stirring going on. Brought no small game unto the craftsman. Of course, if you got a god and you got an idol, then you're going to have a little of that around, right? Like you go to some places, you got Buddhas all around. You can tell if you go into a house, they got some Buddhas and they got all that. Does that not identify who you?
Right.
So they making money off these statues of Diana. So now all of a sudden you got Jesus being preached and people burning books and things and repenting. They not buying the little silver things no more. So somebody's pocket getting a little light. And what happened when your prestige and power start waning? You got a problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whom he called together with the works with workmen of like occupation and said, hey guys, you know that this is our craft. This is how we make our money, right?
Mm-hmm.
Moreover, you see in here that not alone in Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul, huh? This Paul had persuaded and turned away a large number of people, saying that they be no gods which were made with hands. Did he not already deal with that unknown God?
Mm-hmm.
So he already been weighing them out. They said, Paul is stirring up trouble and hitting us in our pocketbook.
Right.
We hurt now. So that not only this, our craft is in danger to be set at nothing, but also the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship. Man, they gonna start taking down the statue after a while. This our namesake. This was keeping everything floating around. We got to do something. And when they heard these things, they were full of wrath and crying out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. And the whole city was filled with what?
Confusion.
Confusion. Yeah. And having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, mm-hmm, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. And when Paul would have entered in unto the people, the disciples held him back. They said, hey, there's trouble out there. And a certain chief of Asia, which were of his friends, sent unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater. Not only his disciples not going in there, but some leaders are saying don't go in there. Some therefore cried one thing, some another, and the assembly was confused. And this is the enemy, right?
Right.
The enemy loves confusion.
Yeah.
But God is a God of decency and in order. And for more part, knew not wherefore they had come together. So you got a lot of people in there saying, what are we even in here for? You got some talking about the money gone. We got some talking about Diana. You got some talking about Christ. So what are we even here for? And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward. And Alexander beckoned with his hand and would have his defense unto the people. But when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice about the space of 2 hours, cried out, "Great is who?
Diana."
Diana. They said, "Now look, guy, you already know what's going on here. So we going with you." And when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, "You men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how the city of Ephesus is a worshiper of the great god Diana and the image which fell down from Jupiter? Seeing then that these things cannot be spoken against, we ought to be quiet and do nothing rashly. For you have brought these men, which are neither robbers of the church, nor yet blasphemers of our goddess. Therefore, if Demetrius and the craftsmen which are with him have a matter against any man, the law is open, and there are deputies, let them implead one another." What we got going on? We got one man that step up and said, just like somebody else said, "We don't really have anything to do with this matter. You got one group here that's mad because their money getting messed up. And now they trying to rile the whole town up. We don't need to be having no discussion about this. We got one. Y'all already know who this goddess is. You done heard what these folks said. If the folk that's doing the craft and brought a problem, they need to have that dealt with by the law. This is not what we come into this theater for. You got one person come up and stir everybody up. Then you got a clerk come and set everybody straight. Mm-hmm. All it take is one. Mm-hmm. All it take is one. But if we inquire anything concerning other matters, it should be determined in what? A lawful assembly. So these silversmiths thought they were slick. They got everybody stirred up, come in the theater and try to get something done. One guy said, "This is not the place to even be having all of that. Why are we even dealing with this? It's the silversmith's problem. That Demetrius guy, you need to do that by law, Demetrius. You got all us in here getting all riled up for nothing. We can't do anything in here. This is not a lawful assembly. For when we are in danger to be called in question for this day's uproar, there being what?
No cause
whereby we may give an account of this conquest." So what is he saying? If something happened here, how are we going to justify that? This is not a lawful assembly. Somebody got to have common sense. What we got going on right here is not going to work. It's just like a vigilante situation, right? Everybody get together. We going to hang them. No, we got a judicial system. Right. You're not going to hang nobody.
Not here.
And it's usually one person stirring it up, right?
Yeah.
One person stirring it up.
Also, with Rome being over, you know, every province and having these little civil people in these different little areas to keep the peace, he thinking about what's going to happen if Rome come down on him.
Right.
To explain why he let this riot go, you know, unchecked.
Right, because it's going to come down to the clerk. It's going to come down to not only the clerk, but everybody that's in the power, the chiefs and everybody that Rome has sent to have everything together. Right. And 41 says, and when he had thus spoken, he dismissed the assembly. He said, "This is not even a lawful group." So just because the enemy gets some stuff stirred up, and you can look at it in your home as well, you can take authority because God's given you that authority to take it, right? Mm-hmm. He's given us power to tread over serpents and scorpions and over all the what? Power of the enemy, so that nothing shall by any means hurt you. So here we are. We got through with 19. We got a lot of stuff worked out today, but God gets the victory. Right?
Right.
Now, as an overview, after God empowers you to do a work for him, You will not be walking on a flowery bed of ease and think everybody is going to go along with what you say and believe. But you got to be steadfast and immovable and have an answer for every man. All right? That's what I want us to get out of this. This book of Acts will give you the empowerment to do what you need to do, but there's something required on your part, and that is to study, to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And when you do that, God will be with you.
I looked up, I researched this goddess, at Diana, to see what she looked like, you know, since she was supposed to be, what, the god of fertility or something?
Mm-hmm. Fertility god.
I mean, she must have had 20 breastfeeds.
Oh!
20, about 20. That's how her statue was made. She had about 20 of them going across. Yeah, I looked her up, you know. It was interesting.
Was she a fertility girl?
Yeah, they would sacrifice animals to her when they wanted the herds to be built up, and if you wanted babies and that sort of thing, it was something.
To the stature.
All I could say is, my grandson, I would have to hide their face. Looking at that statue.
I know that's
not she didn't have no top on. No.
Look, to the Greeks, your body, they worship the body.
Yeah, they.
Any Greek statue you see, ain't nothing covered up. Even the men, everything, everything's exposed. Yeah.
But it says there's nothing wrong with human form, though. That's what we were always told. Nothing wrong with human form. That's what they said in art class.
Uh-huh.
Art class, yeah.
Yeah. We don't keep clothes on just to keep us warm now. Let me borrow your penis.
Keep clothes on because it's
Anybody else got any comments? Any questions about 19? All right.